Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Tonight marks the world premiere of a new full-length ballet set in the world of L. Frank Baum's Oz books. Tulsa Ballet, in collaboration with Ballet Met in Ohio, present Dorothy and the Prince of Oz, a new original full-length ballet by choreographer Edward Liang, the artistic director of Ballet Met. Liang premiered his first full-length ballet, Romeo and Juliet, with Tulsa Ballet, and the collaboration continues now with this lavish $1 million production. The story takes elements from several of the Oz books to create a love story between the principals, Dorothy and the Prince of Oz. Our guest today is the choreographer, Edward Liang, who also co-wrote the libretto. Liang is a former New York City Ballet and Netherlands Dance Theater dancer who, in addition to his work with Ballet Met, is creating new work for some of the greatest dance companies around the world. Since his first full-length with Tulsa Ballet in 2012, Liang has also created full-lengths of Cinderella and The Sleeping Beauty, but this is his first original story in music ballet. And you can see the world premiere this evening. Dorothy and the Prince of Oz premieres tonight at 8 o'clock with additional performances Saturday at 3 and 8 and Sunday at 3 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. And he joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Edward Liang, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a sense of how this idea for doing an L. Frank Baum story and turning it into a full-length ballet with all sorts of special effects and really a magical event. How did this process begin?
Well, it started about 3 years ago, 3+ years. I just signed on to be artistic director for Ballet Met. And because of the success that Marcello and I had for Romeo and Juliet, and we really enjoy working with each other, and especially now that there's two companies, we really wanted to find a medium for mid-size ballet companies for new productions. This is the lifeline and lifeblood for any ballet companies where you have full lengths that has a more well-known title or a story. And in the industry, we call them war horses. And we wanted to do something a little different, not just another production of Peter Pan. There's about five that you can rent. There's dozens of Sleeping Beauties, Romeo and Juliet's. So we wanted to think outside the box. There wasn't any production of Wizard of Oz. At the same time, we didn't want to do the original story of Wizard of Oz, book one, and there's 14 books. And the reason why was because I think that the audience wanted some of the original music, and that was going to be difficult for us. On top of that, you know, we wanted to do something that was original, and we wanted to have love and tragedy. And Wizard of Oz is a beautiful adventure, but it didn't have the same sort of elements that you need for ballet and opera. It's a little bit more drama. And to pull off something that magnitude of story with flying monkeys and yellow brick road, it would have taken a budget of $5+ million for to do it really world class. So we looked at it in a more holistic way, and we found that this title was great, this story. And I flew to Vienna to work with Oliver Peter Graeber, and we put together the libretto together, and then we started putting music together. So that's how it really kind of all started.
Now, you say libretto, are you talking about the story of the ballet?
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, speaking words like in a musical or even an opera. You're talking about just the story of the ballet that you're going to tell through
absolutely
the dance.
So it's, you know, if you put it to a film equivalent or television or anything, it's like a treatment.
Right.
It's like a mini sort of script.
A synopsis in a way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so you figure out where, how the adventure goes, where it starts, and then you look at the synopsis or the libretto, and then you start plugging in how many dancers this company has, how many people can be in each scene. And then you start feeding in what we're trying to tell and what story. And then you go even deeper and you have to look at the instrumentation of the different pieces that you pull. And do they fit with each other? Do they clash? Do they tell the story? How many minutes is it? So it was a long process, but, you know, I learned a lot through this whole experience.
Is this your first attempt at doing an original story ballet?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. So what was the learning process like? I mean,
oh my gosh. I mean, everything. I have never co-written a libretto before. I did some research in terms of the books. I really didn't have time to read all 14 books. So we had to really kind of strategize. And luckily, Oliver Peter Graeber, he read a lot of the books. I did more of the Cliff Notes version of it, internet-like scanning and doing a little bit of just reading from other people's opinions to storylines, etc. So
this is loosely based, I guess, on the last book, right?
Yes.
And there's a Prince of Oz and Dorothy meets him. And so there's your love story, right?
Exactly.
So how did you settle upon that particular book? Was the fact that there was a love story at the heart of it?
I think that there is a love story, but book 14, I mean, Prince of Oz, I think, was book 8 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Book 14 is Glinda of Oz.
That's right. Glinda of Oz, yeah.
And Glinda of Oz was really about these two tribes or two nations within Oz. And it was the Skeezers and the Flatheads and Queen Diamond and King Sapphire. And so it was too complicated to tell the story of the Skeezers and the Flatheads that are the army of these two rulers. But what we did was we captured the idea of these two Oz leaders, magical leaders, and we created a story around the prince. You know, you have these two rulers, and what if they got together? And what if they produced an heir, a magical heir? And what if we created the drama of, I think, in creating ballets, you always want to tap into humanity and psychology and how we are in terms of behavior. So it's about control. It's about tragedy. It's about passion. It's about young love and soulmates. And so there is a great divide because the queen kidnaps the young prince. And it's really about how each parent wants to raise their child and the different conflicts that rises. And Dorothy is called by Glinda, who read all this information from the Great Book of Knowledge. And in the books, the Great Book of Knowledge, it's like a huge newspaper that self-writes itself, and only she can read it. And it's not just the current news across the land of Oz, but it also tells stories from the past and can possibly see into the future for different alternate possibilities.
So that is there's the beginning of the story.
Exactly.
Now, how do you turn that into a dance where you used an awful lot of words to describe this and you're going to have to tell this story through physical action and motion?
Well, I think that, you know, luckily for ballet and dance, there's the medium of music. The music will hopefully, if you pick the right pieces of music to lead one after another, it tells the story. And within the timing of things, it wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of the fact that the story, especially the first act, there's so much adventure, so much traveling, that it's very clear. And I have the genius of Basil Twist to help with some magical puppetry that'll help the story. And we have different ways now in terms of ballet productions to tell the story with through projection, through a little bit of small animation. I didn't really want to go full throttle on it becoming too animated and mm-hmm. something different. And I didn't really want it to be like because it's already different in a hybrid of ballet production. Most ballet productions, you don't have puppets running around and a little bit of live animation from projection. But we really wanted to fine balance that so it doesn't become the spectacle.
Mm-hmm. That's very important. We were chatting with Basil earlier, and he was saying, you know, one of the things it's like when he works with choreographers or when the emphasis is not on the puppetry, you have to make sure that the puppetry are either not on stage at all or way back in the background doing nothing. And I assume when you're having all the projections, everything else, you have to really carefully balance that with the dance so that the focus is always on the dance.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the whole team has always been fantastic in being able to keep the mission and vision on creating a production. And it was a wonderful, constant reminder for us to tell the story. And in telling the story, I think we balanced out how much each ingredient needs to be. And we always remember the focus is about telling the story and the ballet.
Yeah. Now, earlier in the beginning of our conversation, you said, you know, both you and Marcello wanted to have a new full length for a company of your size in both in Columbus and here in Tulsa. How important is that? Because, you know, I've heard Marcello talk about it before. It says, you know, up until 1950, there was every so often there would be a full length that sort of entered the repertoire, you know, Romeo, Juliet, maybe Cinderella, the Prokofiev music versions, probably the last. And, you know, in the last 50 years, you know, maybe Anna Karenina, maybe, you know, and there's maybe just a couple that are sort of maybe going to be there forever.
Right.
Is that the goal from your team, is to sort of create this sort of piece that, you know, you can send out to other places, but it'll be a part of the Ballet Met repertoire every 7 or 8 years, or and same here in Tulsa?
That's our hope. And you really don't know how everything is going to turn out. I know that so far, even from what we've seen and being able to do Studio K runs, you know, Tulsa Ballet has their own performance space in Black Box Theater, which is amazing. And we've done costume run. Now we've been in the theater mechanizing different scenes and slowly coming together. In the end, you don't really know until you have real dress rehearsals and a performance how the audience responds, how the community responds. But that is our hope, that we're not only just doing what we do in Tulsa and in Columbus, that, you know, our hope is that we're a part of the national conversation of dance, and that we are helping produce original works that really, it's rare that it's done because it's expensive. And luckily, being able to do this together, that we're able to afford a ballet of a certain caliber, because unless you're talking about ballet companies that have $15 million plus, and when you're stretching to $20 million, $50 million annually, they might be able to invest a couple million dollars beyond just their nutcracker. For companies like us, you don't have a couple million dollars to invest unless it's an annual thing that is going to produce income for your company. So, you know, every ballet company within like every 15 years, hopefully you get a new production of Nutcracker. And beyond that, companies of our size, we can't invest in that type of ability, because you'll never recoup the money back in terms of ticket sales, because you can only bring it back every five, six years.
Right. My guest today is choreographer Edward Liang, who is also the artistic director of Ballet Met in Columbus, Ballet Met and Tulsa Ballet, collaborating on this million-dollar production of Dorothy and the Prince of Oz, which premieres this weekend for four performances at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Tell us about the creative team that you assembled. As you and Marcello and the creative team you put together, who were the people you looked for to bring this together, you know, especially with an original story like this?
Right. Well, Oliver Peter Graeber, who is based in Vienna, and he works for the Stadt Vienna Opera. And he helped, obviously, write the libretto with me, and he was really instrumental in putting the music together. I mean, I had different pieces that I loved, including the Glazunov, but he was really instrumental in putting all the music together.
And the music is a pastiche, some of which he composed. Some of which is transcriptions of Bartok piano pieces. And then you mentioned a couple of, there's some music by Glazunov from both his ballet, The Seasons,
yes.
And then also another piece, which I'm not sure if it was balletic in nature or not.
No, and this is what's beautiful is that a lot of these pieces that I've loved haven't been performed by ballet. And I've always been curious, but they've been these standalone pieces that is hard to create a ballet around. So this these pieces that he selected, I was so happy that it all made the final cut in terms of instrumentation and how it flows. So he was definitely key in starting and one of the huge factors of the artistic creative team. And then the next, of course, I've always wanted to work with Basil Twist for many, many years. I'm such a huge fan. And if the, you know, Tulsa community doesn't know, he is one of the most famous puppeteers in the world. And just to give a sort of like a where it's from, he was invited in from the very beginning to help create the Dementors for Harry Potter. So yeah. We're talking about a world-class artist.
And everything from Beauty and the Beast and the Addams Family in Broadway yes. to ballet to actually creating, he's actually created his own ballets for puppets without dancers at all.
Which was, yeah. you know, won the MacArthur Genius Award with The Rite of Spring. Yeah. So he's an incredibly creative, inspiring individual. So I knew that I wanted to bring him to the table. And then Mark Cipone, who I've worked with, I think, since 2004. He's an incredible, incredible fashion designer and costume designer, really. He spans from working for all ballet companies nationally, internationally, to Miss Universe, to different Broadway shows. So he also has spanned the gamut in his ability to think outside the box, but also the magnitude of his knowledge is amazing. And of course, we've worked with Les Dickert, and he's lit a lot of my ballets, not only in Tulsa, but in Ballet Met. And so he's doing the lighting. And then we asked Daniel Brody to do to come in and create the projections for us. And he and Basil has worked together, and he's worked with a lot of ballet companies, Royal Ballet, San Francisco Ballet, to put together some projections. So it's a very, very interesting team.
Now, when you talk about all these people involved, you hear $1 million, that sounds like a lot of money. But really, when you're talking about creating, I mean, this is, you're probably looking at a lot of innovative ways to make it look more expensive than it actually is.
I am so glad that you have that perspective and that you have that knowledge. Yeah, I mean, $1 million is, it sounds like a lot. But in
a Broadway show is $10 million, or more.
15.
Yeah, really.
And
yeah.
So you still want to have as much on that stage as possible. But when you're talking about a huge creative team, there's multiple contracts and they all have to be paid.
Yeah.
So you have to really figure out how much you can actually put into the production. But once you build the production, people don't think about that their shipping costs from the build site to Tulsa and back and building crates to hold them and so that we can rent them in the future to et cetera, et cetera.
Now, I know you've done original, you know, full lengths, everything in between, but have you been involved in that level of detail before?
No. So this is very, very different. You know, when you're a choreographer, you come in and you talk about what set you're going to rent, if it's a rental or a build. And you try your best to kind of stay clear of the negotiating because you have to work with all these artists, the team. And it's different to be able to take off my choreographer's hat and put on my producing hat and artistic director hat,
right,
where Marcello and I and the whole production team and have to sift through just the mountain of just what you have to do to produce something.
Now, has that been a boon for you, just having that break in the process? Has that been helpful in actually creating the dance, or has it been a distraction at times?
I didn't really look at it either. I mean, I just think that it was a great learning experience. Some things were very frustrating. Some things were amazing. I have to say, overall, for two organizations to come together and co-produce something and have these multiple builds, multiple bids, contracts, it went relatively smooth. It was, we're still talking to each other. We still actually like each other. So
that's good.
That is a huge plus. But it was definitely difficult because everyone only has a certain amount of time during the day. And not only are we producing this massive show together, still continuing to be artistic director for a ballet company and choreographing outside. This year I have a new work for Singapore Dance Theater. I do something in St. Petersburg for Dance Open and a new ballet for San Francisco Ballet. Let alone the fact that right when I basically finish this production, I fly back to Columbus, Ohio and create a new ballet for Ballet Met.
Wow.
And it's raining on stage.
You're in the next ballet?
Yeah. It's another challenge that, you know, we're facing. You know, we're throwing buckets of water on the floor to see how dancers respond in sliding, and it's gonna be really fun, but it's another challenge.
Now that sounds like you're really trying to widen your vocabulary, your dance vocabulary. Are you doing the same with this particular piece? Because all this baggage that comes with Oz, whether it be Wicked or The Wizard of Oz or whatever.
Right.
Are you, you know, trying to channel some new dance vocabulary into this particular piece?
I don't know if I'm trying to. I think new steps and new lifts always naturally happen. Mm-hmm. And I love being inventive, at least trying to be inventive that way. But the situation is that, and our mission is to create a lasting, innovative, but still lasting production. So that wasn't really the driver in creating a new language. Some things, I would say, kind of just happen naturally, but it's still a classical ballet production, and it's not a contemporary version of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, even though there isn't another production. But it's not like this amazing production that happened in the English National just recently, mm-hmm. Akram Khan's Giselle. So he completely reinvented Giselle for himself, and it was very contemporary. There's none of the same variations or steps or even on point. Mm-hmm. So he kind of turned it on its feet, and I'm super excited about being able to see it someday. But we didn't have that sort of strategy. We really wanted to make a classical ballet that's a little bit more contemporary in feel, in that it's not old school traditional ballet, but it's still ballet.
Hmm. Now, are there particular moments that, you know, you've, as they've come together, you say, wow, this is just even better than I thought? Or can you maybe give us some moments where we can look forward to?
You know what is so beautiful about the production, and I was completely awestruck that we even were able to pull it off, is each of the scenes, and with ballets of a certain budget, you can only create so many scenes because each scene is a lot of money. But I can't wait for the audience to be able to see the exterior and the interior of this huge dome that is the house or the castle or where Queen Diamond is with her son and where she's captured her son. And it's just beautiful to look at. I mean, let alone just like there's dancers that are mechanizing it and using it. Another thing is the war scene. And Basil and I imagined these, do you remember those like old Japanese, I don't know if they're paintings or triptychs or, but they have these golden clouds, and they each within the clearing of these clouds is these epic battles that are painted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to create that as a template. And we have these moving battle clouds that are just incredible to look at while there's an epic battle happening. And then, of course, you know, the puppets that Basil created are just beautiful. And it's so different to be able to see a puppet, but really well clever and really well done and really clever in terms of how it was built and mechanized. And the Diamond Swan puppet is just gorgeous. So there's a lot of things that is just going to be pure eye candy for the audience that I just can't wait for them to see.
Yeah, and the dancers themselves are doing the puppetry too as
yeah,
well.
It's great that, you know, they're able to be a part of telling the story. And we created this whole world, and these individuals, there's six green others with a Z at the end, and seven gray others. So the gray others are the ones that mechanize the puppets. And the green others are, I would consider them the page turners or the storytellers. They bring on and mechanize different parts of the sets. They're kind of like these magical beings that push the story along. And I've been immersed in this world of Oz and this production for 3 years. And it's been an incredible journey to just immerse myself in this story and this journey.
What I've heard of the production is that there are like surprises all the way through too. I mean, you're telling us a few things, but there are surprises that occur throughout this ballet.
Yeah, I just, you know, I love the fact that, you know, all these artistic minds, and it's like the meeting of the minds, and we bring a little bit to the table. And truthfully, it takes not only just a village to create a world premiere. I mean, what Tulsa Ballet and Ballet Met have done in creating a marketing plan, in creating and fundraising for this production, in putting the production schedule together, because neither company, we haven't had to live through putting this on stage with so many different elements. So, and getting not an original score, but a brand new.
Yeah, it's a score. Yeah, it's a score, but it comes from different sources.
Exactly. And, you know, for the orchestra to be able to have very limited rehearsal time and bring that, I mean, it's every single component bringing it to life. It is just, it's humbling.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people are looking forward to the premiere this weekend, Friday evening, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and Sunday afternoon at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. And when does this production go to Ballet Met?
We luckily are celebrating our 40th anniversary next year. We're 20 years behind Tulsa. Tulsa Ballet is celebrating its 60th anniversary, which is so impressive. We're going to close our 40th anniversary. So next year, in the first weekend of May, will be the closing of the season and the opening of Dorothy and the Prince of Oz.
All right. Well, I hope a lot of people come out this weekend to see the world premiere of Dorothy and the Prince of Oz with my guest, Edward Liang, as choreographer. Edward, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Choreographer Edward Liang speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. His new creation, Dorothy and the Prince of Oz, receives its world premiere by Tulsa Ballet this evening at 8, with additional performances Saturday at 3 and 8 and Sunday at 3 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. For ticket information and details, visit TulsaBallet.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. We're going to leave you with music from Dorothy and the Prince of Oz. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.